no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first show this week is from Big Town. We'll hear their March 29th, 1949 episode titled The Chill of Death. After that, it's Have Gun, Will Travel and The Gunsmith, their story from April 26th, 1959.
Extra, extra, gang goes slain in racket, chill of death on Big Town. Extra, Big Town, extra.
All right, now what, Croc? You shot Cora May and listen to that. Her father is out there in the dark with that hound, armed with a rifle.
Shut up, Wilson. If he gets me, he'll get you and Kilburn.
Steve, the lights have been cut off.
Yes, Laura, lie cottonmouth has prepped the light wires. He can strike better in the dark.
Yes, listen to this Big Town five-star racket expose headline, The Chill of Death, brought to you by Lever Brothers Company, makers of Life Boy Health Soap. Another hard-hitting story of fighting editor Steve Wilson, whose newspaper creed stands for freedom and justice against the forces of intolerance and evil.
Freedom of the press is a flaming sword, that it may be a faithful servant to all the people. Use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now to Big Town and tonight's strange story of retribution that caught up with a killer in a luxurious hideout in the sunny Southland, but began in a suite of rooms in the old Grand Hotel, notorious hangout of Big Town gamblers and racketeers.
Look, Rocky, don't give me orders. Croc left me in charge of the numbers racket.
Yeah, but he told me to see you didn't try taking it over.
And he told me to see you didn't line up the bookie take for yourself like you're doing.
You're a liar.
Who's a liar, double-crossing slug?
You're a liar. Shut up and sit down. We'll settle this later. That's what you know, Joe, at the setups. Let the punk in, Cora May.
Sure, sure, and you both better watch a step. All right, I'm coming. Don't be in such a doggone hurry.
I'm sorry, lady, but I'm all alone on a desk tonight. Clerk, bellhop, switchboard. The works.
Set the setups and beat it, punk.
Okay. That'll be $2.
Put it on the Croc's bill.
Okay. When's Croc Miller coming back from Don Sar?
When it gets warm. Can't stand a cold.
Yeah, so I hear. Ain't that why he's called Croc? Short for crocodile?
Yeah, his doc says he's thin-blooded. Chills easy. Now beat it.
Croc ain't got blood. If anybody ever opens up, they'll spill ice water.
Clam up, Nick. Go on, beat it, Joe. We got business.
Yeah, I'll bet you have.
Graham, punk.
Sure. Ring the desk if you want any more free service.
Why didn't you tip the punk?
Mine's you. You think of the boss around here?
I'll show you who's the boss.
Why don't you boys relax? Croc's the boss. Molly's sunning himself down there on the South Coast. So just take it easy and relax.
Shut up, Cora May. Mind your own business, Rocky. Stick the Nick in the bookies and lay off my numbers racket.
Quit telling me things, Nick.
Quit phoning Croc. I'm muscling in. Crossing them up.
I ain't tip Croc or nothing, you rat.
You're a liar. Somebody.
Oh, somebody did. Oh. Yeah. I'll say somebody did.
So you just had to go and do it, didn't you, Rocky?
Yeah, so what?
Croc ain't gonna like it, Rocky.
He will when he hears Nick was crossing them up.
Better get to Croc and tell him first.
Yeah, go get the car, Cora May. We're heading south tonight.
Tonight? What about Nick there? Maybe he ain't dead yet.
We're taking him along in the car, dead or alive.
Hi, Steve. Anything on the hook for your wondrous girl reporter?
Hello, Laura. Come in.
Hi.
Are you a fugitive from one of Fletcher's city desk assignments?
I just finished one, thanks. The convention of travel agents and their talk of tours to sunny lands had given me the urge to get away to warmer climes.
Oh, sorry. We're all out of assignments to Florida, California, and Point South.
Well, couldn't you manage... Uh-oh, your private line. Probably a tip from one of your tipsters. It'll take us to the North Pole.
Oh, the waterfront, which would be just as cold tonight. Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Hiya, Mr. Wilson. What do you know, Joe, the old Grand?
What do you know, Joe?
Maybe plenty, Mr. Wilson. I think 2 o'clock Miller's head hoods shot it out.
Where, Joe?
Up in Croc's suite in this AC-Doozy joint.
An hour ago. Have you notified the police?
Well, I didn't have no proof until after they left.
Who left?
Nick Collins, Rocky Kent, and a femme southern fry called Cora May.
Who was shot, Joe?
Rocky and Cora got Nick in a car. Said he was sick, and they headed south.
They headed south? Are you sure Collins was shot?
Well, I heard a shot after I took him some setups. They were having something out, and after they left, I passkeyed myself in a crock suite, and there was plenty of plasma on the rug.
Well, that should be evidence enough, but are you sure they're heading south in a car?
Yeah, on account of I heard Rocky tell the gal they could make it to Crock's Beach House by tomorrow night. My driving without stopping.
Thanks for the tip, Joe.
You gonna follow it up, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, Joe. We've been trying to link Crock Miller to several big-town rackets. And this may be the time to do it. Thanks very much, Joe, till you're better paid.
But, Steve, Crock Miller is sunning himself in that fantastic hideaway of his almost 1,000 miles from here.
Yes, Lorelei, but you wanted to take a trip, didn't you?
South to the sun?
Yes, phone the airport and have them fuel a press plane for a takeoff early tomorrow morning.
Why not tonight?
I want to check a few big-town angles on a shooting between two of Crock's gunmen. And we can still be there when they arrive at Crock's hideout tomorrow night.
Thus, Steve Wilson and Lorelei prepare to fly south to be in on a deadly gang showdown. And for the exciting developments, we'll rejoin them in a moment. Life Boy, get skin cleaner.
Life Boy, get skin cleaner.
And the cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. So remember, Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner, stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors found that Life Boy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Life Boy's purifying ingredient makes it more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that brings on B.O.
Life Boy's milder, too. Safe. Even for baby's tender skin.
And you'll like the way Life Boy, made with costly coconut oil, bursts into quick white lather, even in hard water.
Life Boy, get skin cleaner.
Life Boy, get skin cleaner. Keeps you fresh and attractive. Protects you as no other leading soap can. Bathe with Life Boy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Life Boy right away. Now, back to Big Town and tonight's racket expose, which has Steve Wilson and Lorelei winging southward in a fast plane belonging to the Illustrated Press.
Say, Steve, there's the coastline.
Well, we made it before sundown.
Ah, now if we can only spot Crock Miller's private landing field before dark.
Yes. We should be able to get to him before his Big Town stooges arrive by car.
This air map shows the field just back from the ocean beach and surrounded by a swamp.
Right. It should be just ahead. Keep your eyes open, Lorelei. It's only a small field.
Oh, I see something. It's like a concrete strip parallel to the ocean and a big white house.
That's it. I'll drop down. Fasten your safety belt in case I've forgotten how to land this crate.
I hope not. The wind's right to go straight in.
That's Miller's place, all right. It was featured in a magazine in all its phony splendor.
Yes, their way of showing that crime and rackets don't pay.
Yes, neglecting to point out that the place is a flimsy stucco shell set in an isolated swamp for protection against Miller's enemies.
Oh, but that beautiful, sunny, white beach, Steve.
Yes, but Crock can't enjoy it without the shadow of an armed bodyguard near him.
Well, I hope we get a chance for just one swim in that warm blue water before we have to fly back.
You may, in the morning. But I doubt if we'll get out of here tonight, whether Crock's goon guns arrive by car or not. Oh, hold your lovely hat, my lovely. I'm going to set her down.
Oh, that's perfect, Steve. Couldn't have done better myself.
Getting out of this small field may be something else.
Steve, but I stop here. We have a reception committee of one waving us down with a rifle.
Yes, oh, I see. Better stay on the plane.
Oh, listen to that surf roll in on the beach.
Well, that will have to wait, Lorelei. This character rolling toward us with that rifle doesn't act like a greeter from the local Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, looks like a
snake.
Good evening.
Hey, you get out of here, mister. This here's a private airplane field. You take off again.
Sorry. I've landed here to see Croc Miller.
He don't see nobody what drops in like buzzards without an invite.
I think he'll see me.
Who are you, mister?
Steve Wilson, editor of the Big Town Illustrated Press.
Oh, newspaper fella from up north, huh?
Yes.
Who's that there woman with you?
Well, the young lady is Lorelei Kilburn, one of my reporters. Now, where's Croc Miller?
He ain't seeing nobody now.
Why not?
He's favoring himself over there on the sand in the sun while it's still warm.
Nice work if you can get it. Let's go give him something to think about, Steve.
You hold on, ma'am. What? Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Don't throw guns around like that.
Hey, you give me that rifle back, mister. Don't you get it away from me like that.
And I'll give you another lesson if you try it again.
You give me that gun back, mister.
Sure, without the bolts here.
You give me that bolt to this gun. This revolver says give it to me.
All right, here you are.
Hey, doggone you, mister, let me go.
Pick up that revolver, Lorelei.
With pleasure. You better search him, Steve. He's a walking arsenal.
Yes, I
guess that's all. Now, where's Croc Miller?
Right here behind you, Wilson. Now, you better let go of Cottonmouth like his namesake's he don't like to be manhandled.
Well, then send him back to the swamps with the rest of the moccasins.
I'll get you, mister. I'll get you if you don't get out of here before sundown.
Yes, your kind like to strike in the dark. Put him back in the pit, Croc. I want to talk to you.
What about? What brought you down here from Big Town in such a hurry?
Well, get rid of the so-called bodyguard and I'll explain.
Make him give me my guns back, Croc.
I'll get him for you. Go up to the house and tell Mandy to set out some drinks.
I'd rather set out some poison. You just wait, Wilson. You just wait.
You've made a bad enemy, Wilson. Better say what you come to say and take off in that plane while you can.
Sorry, Croc. You're due to have some other guests. And I want to be here when they arrive.
I ain't expecting nobody.
They're coming by car from Big Town, and I think they want it to be a surprise.
Who's coming by car?
Two of your boys and a girl called Cora May.
Cora May?
Yes.
Come up to the house.
What's the matter with you, Croc? What made you shiver like that?
The sun's gone. It's getting chilly.
That's right. I hear you can't stand the slightest cold.
Yeah. Come on. Come up to the house. I gotta get inside.
Yes, Croc. You'd better, because I think there's a chill wind of death coming down from the north.
Now that the sun's gone down. Even the house is cold. Damp.
Yes,
clammy.
It certainly is, Lorna. It's because of the swamps all around the land side.
I wonder why Croc picked such a place if he can't stand the cold.
That he's safe from his rivals and enemies. The price any gangster pays for his brief hour in the sun. And I'm not being poetic.
Where's he now?
His heating plant is broken down. He's outside tinkering with it. That's why this house is so cold and damp.
Cottonmouth! Go shut that hound up or I'll shout it, you hear me?
I hear you, Mr. Croc. That hound don't like strangers. He's saying maybe somebody gonna die tonight.
Cut that kind of talk. Go phone town and get somebody out here to fix my heating plant.
They won't come tonight.
Well, phone them anyway and keep that hound quiet.
Looks like you'd have been better off in your suite in the old Grand Hotel in Big Town, Croc.
Yeah. What brought you flying down here in such a hurry, Wilson? You haven't got nothing on me.
No. You've been pretty clever in covering up your racket connections, Croc. But when your front men fall out over the division of your rackets, a lot of things can happen.
What's that, Wilson?
I told you Rocky, Nick, and a girl called Cora May are on their way down here in a car.
So what? My pals drop in every once in a while.
Not unannounced.
Yeah. They'll be announced before they get within a mile of here.
How do you arrange that?
Cottonmouth's boy lives over by the main road. And nobody comes through the swamp road without his phoning in first.
You really trust your friends and guests, don't you, Croc?
But can you trust Cottonmouth and his son?
I don't have to trust anybody as long as I've got this rock.
Oh. So even here, in your so-called tropical paradise, your happy vacation hideaway, you have to carry a gun.
What do you do, Croc? Even sunbathe on the beach with that shoulder holster strapped on you?
Yeah. Now I want to know what brought you two news hounds flying way down here.
News hounds are also supposed to have a sixth sense, Croc. Perhaps it's the same thing that's making that hound out there howl at the moon.
What's that, wise guy?
The smell of death.
Cottonmouth, answer that phone.
I heard it. I'm getting it out in the hall.
That may be your guest, Croc. They've had time to get here from Big Town if they drove without stopping.
Shut up, Wilson. If it's Nick and Rocky, tell Judd to let them come on out.
What about the girl called Cora May?
How do you know so much about who's coming?
We have birdies who tell us when the underworld apes of the Big Town jungle start fighting among themselves.
What happened up there? Oh, come on, you two, give.
I think you'll get the whole story firsthand in a few minutes, Croc.
And we thought we'd like to be around to see how you handle it.
Get out of here. Go get in that crate and fly out of here, Wilson.
Sorry. That field is too small to take off in the dark. We'll have to wait till morning.
Oh, yeah? All right, Cottonmouth, what goes?
It's them. Cora May's with them.
Okay, so she's with them. What about it?
One of them's dead in the back of the car.
Dead? Which one?
One called Nick.
How'd it happen?
I don't know. I told you not to get my little old Cora May mixed up in no trouble.
Shut up and get out of here. Cora May can take care of herself.
None of these here newspaper hound dogs get away from here. Write up about this in their paper.
I'll take care of that. Now you go out and meet that car. Make sure Rocky don't come in here carrying a gun.
I'll make plenty sure of that. And as for you, Mr. Wilson...
Yes, Cottonmouth?
Don't you and your reporter gal get no notion of flying out of here. Because I done fixed your plane so you can't. You understand?
Well, looks like we're going to be in on this whether we like it or not, Steve.
What is Cora May to your bodyguard, Croc?
She's his daughter.
Uh-oh. And you took her up to Big Town and got her mixed up in the racket,
and
huh?
Now, murder.
Shut up. She's no swamp angel. She's a smart, tough dame, and she can take care of herself.
Yes, but can you... Cottonmouth doesn't look much like a father, but he's acting like one. And he's liable to forget he's supposed to be your faithful bodyguard.
Shut up, Kilburn. Now listen, Wilson. You're after a story. I'll make a deal.
What is the deal, Croc?
If Rocky shot Nick, you can have him. Take him back to Big Town with you and get yourself a scoop.
Oh. The old double cross, Croc. The sellout to save your own rotten hide. No thanks. There's no room in the press plane for that killer.
Okay. Cottonmouth ain't forgot you took his guns away from him this afternoon. Maybe I can get him to take you hunting in the swamps today.
Hunting what?
Maybe what that hound dog is sniffing in the wind.
What's the idea of having a Cottonmouth character taking my heat away from me?
Shut the door, Rocky. Drafts give me a chill, you know that.
Okay, but I want to know what... Who's the guy in Dave?
Never mind. Where's Cora May?
Out there with that swamp rat. But listen, Croc.
What happened to Nick?
That's what I drove down here to tell you.
All right, tell me.
Nick was crossing you up, getting set to take over.
And you wasn't?
No, I was playing it straight down the line for you all the way.
You're a liar. I know different.
Who told you?
I told him, Rocky.
You told him, you lying two-time twist.
You were playing along with Nick, couldn't set the cross up me and Croc.
What about that, Cormier?
Croc, honey, you know I wouldn't try anything like that on you. After all you've done for me. Took me out of this here swamp to the big city. Give me a good job just watching them city crooks you got working for me.
Don't believe her, Croc. Don't trust her. She's as slippery as her old man and twice as mean.
Listen to him, Croc. He's mad because I wouldn't play with him to cross you up. Hey, who's that snappy girl, Croc? What's she doing here?
Not enjoying the surf and sunshine, Cora May. You better start talking yourself out of this mess before you get in any deeper.
That's right, Laura. I'm afraid that when these three stop talking, there's liable to be shooting.
Who's the big wise guy, Croc?
A newspaper guy from Big Town. Wilson.
Wilson, a racket buster. What's he doing here?
We heard about your little shooting spree at the old Grand Hotel, heard you were driving south, and flew in ahead of you.
Croc, are you nuts letting a nosy in on this?
Forget about Wilson and the Cuban dame. I got a notion they ain't gonna matter.
Not to you, Rocky.
Why not?
Because Croc has offered you as the fall guy to take back the Big Town for the murder of Nick.
Come here, Cora May.
Croc, make him let go. Let him have it.
Break away from him. Get out of the way.
Can't lose.
Come on, honey child. We're going places.
Break away, Cora. Break away.
I can't. That's it.
Tell her, Croc, you can have her.
Laurel, I see what you can do for that girl.
Yeah, but you stay put, Wilson. Don't open that door again.
Now what, Croc? You shot Cora. Her father shot Rocky, and he's out there with a high-powered rifle.
Shut up, Wilson. If he gets me, he'll get you and Kilburn. He'll get all of us.
That bolted door won't keep him out. This is his jungle, Croc.
The lights have been cut off.
Yes. Cottonmouth has pulled the light switch or cut the wire. This is his element, Croc. He can strike better in the dark.
Wilson, I'll make a real deal. I got a rifle. I'll give it to you.
Oh, thanks, Rock. You made a deal that you can't shoot your way out of when you got in the rackets a long, long time ago.
Thus, Steve and Lorelei are caught in the middle of a savage showdown, and for the ironic payoff, we'll rejoin them in a moment. Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
And the cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. So remember, Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors found that Life Boy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Life Boy's purifying ingredient makes it more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that brings on B.O.
Life Boy's milder, too. Safe even for babies' tender skin.
And you'll like the way Life Boy, made with costly coconut oil, bursts into quick white lather, even in hard water.
Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy gets skin cleaner. Keeps you fresh and attractive. Protects you as no other leading soap can. Bathe with Life Boy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Life Boy right away. Now back to tonight's headline story of Steve Wilson and Lorelei, who have flown 1,000 miles south to cover a gang showdown in tonight's big town story of the Chill of Death.
Wilson, don't pull out of here. Don't leave me alone in this forsaken dump with that crazy swampy waiting for me out there in the dark.
Sorry, Croc, you picked this place for a hideout. You hired Cottonmouth for a bodyguard. And you shot his daughter trying to kill Rocky.
Rocky pulled her in front of him when I shot at him.
That won't matter to Cottonmouth. He hates you like poison for getting Cora May mixed up in the murder of your other gun goon, Nick.
Steve.
Yes, Laura. That's Cora May.
I can't be sure in the dark, but I think she's dead.
That done it, Croc. Now
cotton mouth will hunt you down like the stupid, murderous animal you are.
He hates you too, Wilson. You took his guns away, made a fool of him. You can't do that to a Swampy. He'll kill you and kill them too.
Not if I can help it. Where's your telephone?
There's an extension phone on a table behind you. By the window.
Thanks.
Well, what are you going to do?
Phone for the local law and...
It's
all right, Lorelei. He missed me. Hello. Hello, operator.
Put down that phone, Wilson. You ain't calling the local cops out here to take me in.
Don't be a fool, Croc. If the police don't come, your pet bodyguard will kill you.
It doesn't matter, Lorelei. This phone is dead.
Dead?
Yes. Cottonmouth must have cut the line when he cut the light wires.
Wilson, I tell you, there's a loaded rifle over the fireplace. Take it. Help me get that crazy fool before he gets us.
No, thanks. Your pal Cottonmouth seems to be able to see in the dark. We're staying right here in his room until daylight.
He'll get us. He'll get all of us.
Quote and unquote.
Keep down, Lorelei. Keep away from the window.
It's getting cold in here. That broken window, I can't stand the night air.
Keep away from that window or you'll never be warm again, Croc. Never bask in the sun of this fool's paradise again.
Hey, the back door to the hall. I didn't bolt it.
It's too late. Get down, Lorelei.
It's too dark. I can't see him.
Be quiet.
I've come for you, Mr. Croc. Seen you shoot my daughter, Cora May. Where are you at? You miss me, you city hound dog. You're behind that there chair, are you?
Yes, you dope!
Shoot my youngin', will you? Now, where's my youngin'? Where's my Cora May? Cora May, you come home, you hear? You come home!
Steady, Lorelei. Wait till I light a candle. There's a couple on the fireplace mantel.
All right, but I don't think there's a thing we can do for any of them, Steve.
No. I'm afraid they've played out the old racket game of dog-eat-dog to the final bitter end. Friends, you know from reading your daily newspapers that what you've just heard has happened many times and will happen again and again so long as racket mobs are allowed to flourish. You can help prevent it by cooperating with your law enforcement agencies, local committees, and by refusing to pay tribute to rackets in any form.
What about next week's Big Town Assignment, Dwight?
Next week, we're going to dramatize another headline story captioned The Deadly Gimmick. But right now, friends, remember, doctors have proved it. Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner in your daily bath. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can.
Say, Dwight.
Yes, Steve?
Dwight, I'd like to emphasize that purifying ingredient of Life Boys. The doctor's report shows what remarkable properties it has. It's the reason Life Boy does all these wonderful things.
Yes, and it makes Life Boy milder, too. The purifying ingredient. That's one more reason why Life Boy is used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Get Life Boy right away. Friends, if you'd like to see what the cast of Big Town and their real counterparts look like, see the exciting story in the April 12th issue of Look magazine, now on the newsstands. The current issue of Look is complete with pictures of Big Town's leading characters and their real-life doubles. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilburn, and is written and produced by Jerry McGill.
Lever Brothers Company has amazing news. New 1950 Rinso with Solium. It's here a year ahead of time. New 1950 Rinso has three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. The sensational new washing action of 1950 Rinso gets white clothes whiter than new, washable colors brighter than new, and keeps them whiter, brighter than any other soap. Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Get new 1950 Rinso at your dealers now.
Be sure and be with us again next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Dwight Wiest, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
If killers laugh at the law in a town, it isn't long before they take over. That's happening in your town, mister. What are you going to do about it?
Gun Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Paladin.
Well, you're looking very pleased with yourself, hey boy?
Oh, well, a big wedding will happen.
Wedding? Whose wedding? Not yours.
No. Cousin to hey boy.
Oh.
It's a Chinese wedding. Many people much celebrating.
Well, that's fine. I'd say, by the way you're acting, that this doesn't happen too often, huh?
No, Mr. Paladin. Does not happen often. Oh, hey boy, very happy. Make many preparations. Everybody have a good time. You will come to wedding?
Hey, boy, if I'm in San Francisco, I guarantee I'll be there.
Yes, sir.
You just let me know when and where.
Oh, very good. Yes, hey, boy, let you know. I go now.
No, wait. Wait a minute. Didn't you want to see me about something?
Oh, yes, sir. Almost forgot the telegram come for you.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, let's see.
You send the answer?
Yes. Tell him have gun will travel.
This is Frank Knight speaking for the world's most honored watch, Longines. In the conquest of the Old West, men won fame through feats of bravery and daring. Today, things are different, but fame can still be won. How wonderful to win a Nobel Prize in science, a Pulitzer Award in literature, an Olympic gold medal in sports. These great honors are symbols of achievement. In the field of time, did you know that Longines watches have won more great public honors than any other watch in the world? This is true. The highest authorities have ranked Longines watches as the finest achievement in the science and art of watchmaking. Yet a Longines, the world's most honored watch, styled with distinction, cased in precious metal, promising a lifetime of faultless timekeeping, is not costly. Many models are priced as low as $75. Visit your authorized Longines Whitnor jeweler. He will be honored to serve you.
The telegram took me to a town near the Nevada border, and when I got there, my job was completed swiftly, without bullets. I collected my fee and started the long ride back to San Francisco. The third day brought me to a town called Woodland, nestled in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada range. It was like 1,000 other towns, one dusty street with boardwalks on each side, flanked by rows of wooden, false-fronted buildings, and the inevitable saloon and general store. I decided I might as well get some supplies. Hello? Anybody here?
Oh.
What?
Help me. Please.
Oh, well, here. Let me help you up. Get you to a chair.
Oh.
Well, easy now. There.
Please, a doctor. I need a doctor.
What happened, old man? Who did this to you?
Get the doctor, please.
Where is he?
North Street, a white house.
A white house. I'll get him and be right back. For 3 days, the little old man hovered near death. I found out his name was Hans Riker and that he owned the store. I also found out he was alone and needed help, so I decided to stay on. On the fourth day, the doctor said Hans was going to be all right, and by the end of the week, he was beginning to move around.
Give me a cup. I pour you some more coffee.
Thank you, sir. Well, good to see you up and around, Mr. Riker. You better take it easy. Remember what the doctor said.
What does the doctor know? She asked him, is a man going to live or die? And he will tell you he doesn't know. So, the man lives or he dies, either way, the doctor can say he was right.
Well, just the same, you're not as strong as you may think you are.
Yeah, that is true. I am not strong, but I would not be here at all if it were not for a man named Paladin.
Ah, I did nothing, Mr. Riker.
Well, that, of course, is nonsense. And I want you to know that an old man is grateful.
Well, I did only what anyone would do.
Well, perhaps I am more cynical than you.
Perhaps you are. Mr. Riker.
Huh?
Will you tell me now who did this to you?
Yeah, that is not important. Not now.
It is to me. Who beat you? Why?
I'll show you something now, my friend. Show you something only a few people have seen. It is what is in this box that causes my fear. You will open it, please.
Oh. Beautiful.
Take it out. Look at it closely.
Well, that's wonderful craftsmanship. It's wonderful.
It's a good gun, yeah?
It certainly is. The balance is perfect. It's just perfect. Where'd you get this gun, Mr. Riker?
You see me now as a storekeeper, Mr. Paladin. But in the old country, in Germany, I was a gunsmith, and a very good gunsmith.
You made this gun?
Yeah. I have made many hundreds of guns in my lifetime. And to the one you hold, I crafted a mate.
A twin?
Yeah. Mm. A twin.
You spoke of a fear, Mr. Riker. What fear?
Well, to a lifelong friend, I gave the twin weapon, crafted by my own hands, and it killed him. It exploded the first time he shot it. There was a flaw somewhere that I did not see, and my friend died.
Well, you shouldn't blame yourself for that.
The day my friend died, I swore never to make another gun, Mr. Paladin, and I have not. No, I sold my guns, all of them but the one that you hold, and came to America.
I see.
Then, 2 weeks ago, a gunfighter was called Link Doby, rode into town, and he found something he wanted here. A gun.
This gun?
Yeah, that gun.
Well, how did he know about it?
Well, one of my friends I have showed it to. He was drinking too much and he talked loudly. And at first, this Link Doby was nice. He asked me to sell the gun to him, but I couldn't do that.
Oh. Then what?
Then he went back to the saloon and drank, and then he came back again and asked me, and then when I still said no, he beat me.
Why didn't you just give the gun to Doby, Mr. Riker? You said yourself it's defective.
Nein. I said the twin to this gun has a flaw, but this gun here, it is perfect.
What about the law here?
Sheriff King, he is like me. He is old, and a man like Doby, a gunfighter, the sheriff cannot stop him. No, everybody here, they are afraid of Doby.
I think I'll talk to Sheriff King.
Nein. Yeah, you have done enough, my friend. Please, do not concern yourself with this. I will give Doby the gun.
No, don't do that. Not yet. First, let me see what I can do.
Be social.
friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
The sheriff's office sat defiantly alone in Woodland, faded and old, like the man in it, who sat with his feet propped on the desktop that had been scarred by too many years. And he looked at me with pale blue eyes, dimmed and defeated by age.
So, that old fool went and hired a gunslinger, eh?
No, Sheriff. Mr. Riker didn't hire anybody. I'm here on my own.
Well, now, why don't you just turn around and leave on your own?
I'll leave when I find out what's going to be done about this.
What's done is my business, mister, not yours.
I'm making it mine. Now, what are you going to do?
What do you expect me to do?
Get dopey.
Now, you listen to me, Mr. Paladin. Things was all right here till you come in. We ain't had no trouble.
You say you had no trouble, Sheriff. Well, maybe not. But you don't know what trouble is until a man like Link Dopey laughs at your law. And he's going to keep right on laughing until he gets sick of it. And then he's going to start shooting. Maybe one of the people he kills will be a tired old sheriff.
Now, wait a minute.
And then he'll leave your town, Sheriff. And he'll only be the first. There'll be others, dozens of them. Because this will be the town they know they can buffalo.
Come over to the window, Paladin. You see that street? It ain't much, but it used to be. Just a few years ago, there wasn't a man or woman walked down that street. Didn't have a lot of respect for me. And then all of a sudden, the gunfighters found out I was old. Couldn't handle a gun no more. They started coming, and I was afraid to stop them.
Sheriff, the man that says he isn't afraid is either a liar or a fool.
Thanks, Paladin. But there ain't nothing I can do. Not no more.
All right, Sheriff. Then I'll handle it. Dopey will be leaving town tomorrow, one way or another. I'm looking for a man called Link Dopey. Is he here?
I'm Dopey.
My name is Paladin.
Well, what you got to say to me, mister?
A few days ago, you beat an old man, Dopey. You beat him, and you told him you were going to kill him if he didn't give you a certain gun.
Well, that's none of your affair. That's between old man Riker and me.
Not anymore, Dopey. I represent Mr. Riker. And you're going to have to kill me to get that gun you're after.
Look here, I got no cause to have no shootout with you.
If I haven't given you cause yet, Mr. Dopey, maybe this will... Now you have cause, Dopey. But I'm going to let you off. I'm going to let you leave town. Tomorrow morning by 8 o'clock. That's how much time you have to get out. Tomorrow morning. 8 o'clock.
Germs of all, upstairs, downstairs, or in the hall? No, they're in the bathroom. And to wipe them out, indeed, a little dash of Lysol's all you need.
Did you say that a little dash of Lysol brand disinfectant wipes out bathroom germs?
I distinctly said bathroom germs.
Yes, ladies, a little Lysol in your cleaning suds is the really easy, modern way to clean your bathroom each week. Because Lysol makes your favorite cleaners work better, including many that claim to sanitize. Lysol kills disease and odor-causing germs, many deadly viruses, too. Disinfect from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can. Use Lysol, either the new pine-scented or regular, next time you clean the bathroom.
My dear boy, I distinctly said the bathroom. A little dash of Lysol does it all.
Costs as little as 29 cents.
I had breakfast with Hans Reicher the next morning, which was quite an experience. Hans called it Gabel Frühstück, or a knife and fork breakfast. It consisted of eggs, bacon, sausage, hot rolls, soup, and potatoes. It was a good start for any day.
You do not eat, Mr. Paladin. It is the German way of cooking you do not like.
It's
yeah?
A German way of cooking I do like, but there's a limit to what a man's stomach will hold.
Ah, but you do not eat much. Already I have eaten more than you, and you are young. You should eat more than me. I think perhaps it is the trouble with Link Dobie. I cannot stop you from doing this thing, my friend.
Oh, I don't think there'll be any showdown. Dobie is brave when he knows he can win. I doubt that he's in town now, but I better make certain. You stay here, Mr. Reicher. I'll check the livery stable to be sure he's gone. Dobie's horse wasn't at the livery stable, but just to be sure he'd left town, I went to the hotel. The clerk told me Dobie had checked out at 7 o'clock that morning. I headed back for Hans Reicher's.
Paladin!
Huh?
Paladin!
Oh.
Dobie, I seen him.
Where, Sheriff? Where'd you see him?
I was just coming out of my office. I seen him sneak into Riker's place.
Riker? Come on. Mr. Riker? Mr. Riker? Mr. Riker, where is he?
The gun.
Where's Dobie?
The back, out back, he has the gun.
Sheriff, get the doctor. I'm going after Dobie.
Hold it, Paladin. Huh? Don't you even breathe. Now you do exactly what I tell you. Put that gun in your holster. Real easy, like don't move fast or you're dead. That's the way. Now you turn around. Now, you're looking me in the face, Paladin. And you're gonna die. Talking so big, make me eat dirt in front of all them people. You ain't so big now. Just about my size. That's the way I like it.
You should like it. Hiding there, showing on your face, and the gun you stole.
You better draw, Paladin, because you ain't never going to get another chance. Now!
Dobie?
Paladin!
Yeah, over here, Sheriff.
I heard the shot. What happened?
That was no shot, Sheriff. The gun he stole from Hans Reicher blew up in his face.
And so once again, after so long a time, I got out my tools and I worked on a gun. After you left me yesterday, I worked on it, Mr. Paladin. And into the night I worked, and I created a flaw. A flaw that would make the gun blow up when it was shot.
Well, why didn't you tell me this morning, Mr. Reicher, when I had breakfast with you?
Well, I did not think I should. You told me you did not wish me to give him the gun, and I fixed it because I feared for you. If Dobie had killed you, then I would give him the gun.
So when Dobie came into your place after I left, you thought he had killed me.
Yeah, I was afraid, and I gave him the gun, but he hit me anyway. He was very angry.
Mr. Riker, you saved my life. I thank you.
Gratitude from the heart is more valuable than gold. Is that not so, my friend?
Yes, Mr. Riker. That is so.
Package come for you, Mr. Paladin.
Hmm? Oh, thank you. Hey, boy, what's the matter with you? You look terrible.
Oh, you notice, huh?
Notice? I'd have to be blind not to. What happened?
Oh, well, you remember a wedding I told you about a long time ago when you could not attend?
Yes, I remember.
Yes, a wedding happened.
Well, what does that have to do with your condition now, hey boy?
Oh, wedding was a Chinese, Mr. Paladin.
Hey boy, I know it was a Chinese wedding, but what does that to do with you now?
Oh, a Chinese wedding is much celebrating, many people, many things to eat, many things to drink.
Oh, you needn't go on, hey boy. I think I understand.
Oh, please, Mr. Paladin, not a laugh so loud. Honorable head fall off. Wee, you take a package now.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. One moment before you go lie down, though, hey boy. There may be an answer required.
Yes, oh, Mr. Paladin. Oh, a beautiful gun, Mr. Paladin.
Yes, hey boy, it's an exquisite gun. Oh, here, there's a note. My friend, these hands once again broke a vow and crafted a gun. The hands have not lost their touch. Please, you will accept this from a grateful old man. Signed, Hans Riker.
Oh, very nice, Mr. Paladin. You send answer?
No, hey boy. No answer.
Are you a game fan? Do you like bridge, perhaps, or checkers? How about these games? Are you familiar with them? Games like Spell It, What's in the House, Can You Take It, and Next on the List. These are highly entertaining games concocted by Art Linkletter, who says, what's a party, especially a house party, without games? There's fun following house party guests as they give their all and vie for a variety of exciting prizes. You'll meet celebrity guests, too, and chuckle over hilariously uninhibited remarks from Art's panel of youngsters. You're cordially invited to join the party, the house party, each weekday right here on CBS Radio. The welcome mat's always out at Arthur Godfrey time, and the Gale and Drake show, too, both sending still more easy listening your way weekdays. They're always well-stocked with entertaining chit-chat about this and that, plus sparkling music. House Party, Arthur Godfrey Time, and the Gale and Drake Show. Light, bright listening in the distinctive pattern of programming you always enjoy when you're tuned to this station and CBS Radio. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin. Hey Boy is played by Ben Wright, who also appeared as Hans Riker. Tonight's story was written by Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody as the Sheriff and Lawrence Dobkin as Dobie. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio Show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Have Gun, Will Travel, Big Town, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there also, and if you'd like to donate, you can do so through the website as well. Visit donate.relicradio.com. It'll take you to the page quickly, or click on our donate button if you're at the website. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.